Hello there, and welcome to the Wonder Tooth Podcast with Dr. Saad. This will be our weekly episode. I hope you are keeping well and safe and that you are having your best year ever. This is Dr. Saad, the founder of Dent Blanche Dental, the best luxury dental spa in the U.S., and she will be your host. Dr. Saad will take you to the secrets and wonders of having an incredible smile, as well as healthy teeth and an overall health. She will give you some tips to make sure our podcast is rocking and rolling. Let's go, baby.
Hello, hello, and welcome to our new exciting episode from the Wonder Tooth Podcast. Today, we have a beauty queen, Mrs. Haiti World, Ludwine. How are you today?
I am fantastic. How are you doing, Dr. Saad?
I am pretty good. We're very happy to have you today. And we met in Las Vegas, which was a lot of extravaganza in the Mrs. World competition. It was out of this world, guys. It was my first time to attend. I was like, oh my God, this is insane. And all of you ladies are very well accomplished. Like, it's not just a pretty face. They're very, very, very well accomplished women. So I want you first to talk about yourself. Who is Ludwine?
Thank you. I want to say thank you so much, Dr. Saad, for having me on your wonderful podcast. And hello, everyone. Like she said, my name is Ludwine Norcilus. I am Mrs. Haiti World 2023. And I was so excited to meet you. A weekend ago?
Yeah, weekend ago. Yeah.
This last weekend, I was competing at the Mrs. World competition in Las Vegas at the Westgate, and I had such an amazing time. But as far as myself, I am a business consultant in the Florida area. And also, I was born and raised in Haiti, but I've been here for almost 20 years now. And I could say I'm an American at this point.
Yep.
But I still hold my roots very clearly, very dearly to myself in Haiti. And along with that, I serve on the board of directors for the Greater Haitian Chamber of Commerce here in Orlando. Great. And I'm the events chairwoman for the last 2 years. So I help conduct events for business owners, entrepreneurs, and also professionals here in the city. And I am what people would say influencers. I was a radio host here for the last 5 years. And I have transitioned to doing podcasting, which is, I have a podcast as well called The Queen Effect, where I go over personal development for women. And I recently launched a journal,
wow,
a personal journal that deals with mental health, your healing journey, and that is available on Amazon. It's called Queen, The Journal to Self-Discovery.
That's amazing. What made you start this journal?
It stems from having to go through my own journey as well. And a lot of the questions that I had to answer for myself during my therapy sessions with my lovely therapist. And I wanted to help women kickstart their own healing journey as well. Even if they're not ready to speak to a licensed professional, they could at least start learning about some of the questions that's already in the book. So I have 50 prompts, mm-hmm, to help kickstart that journey, to help answer some of the questions that they would need to start peeling the layers to get to a better version of themselves.
That's amazing. Wow, you are very well accomplished, like between this and business and the Chamber of Commerce and radio and podcast. That's wow. So what made you decide, okay, you are very pretty. There is no doubt. So what made you decide to go for the pageantry world?
Actually, when I was doing radio, a good friend of mine was competing for Haiti International at the time, and she was one of the contestants. Her name is Madeline Altenor. She's a fantastic injury lawyer here in Central Florida, and she kind of convinced me to answer. when I was interviewing her, she was pretty much saying, like, I think you should answer because it highlights women who are accomplished, community involvement. At the time, she knew that I was involved with the city and the chamber, and she thought I would be a great fit to pretty much represent our country in whatever capacity, and to celebrate women accomplishments. And I thought about it for a couple of years, and I decided, okay, you know what? I think this would be a great platform to highlight what I've been doing here in my community and also how I can help women across the globe.
Yeah. That's amazing. And so what's your background? Like, what did you study?
I went to school for graphic technology.
Wow. You are very well, like, you're very talented, like, in few things already.
Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me about Haiti. Tell me about, I mean, I loved your dress. It was very, the national costume. It was very diverse. Like, it was very outstanding. So tell me a little bit about the culture there.
The culture is extremely rich. We like to party. Yeah. I mean, most Caribbean islands like
yes,
to party.
Yes. Yeah.
We do. We do. Absolutely do. But I would say culture within itself is that we are very big on instruments. We like to use anything from tambourines to drums to three different type of guitars. You have the acoustic guitar. You have the cha-chas. Mm-hmm. A lot of these, and it's we have about four different type of music in Haiti, because the island were colonized quite a couple of times. We have the Spanish influence, because we were first colonized by the Spaniards. And then we also have the French influence, because they also came into the island trying to occupy the island as well. So we have that influence. And then we also have the Taino, which is the original inhabitants of the country, and all of those different cultures, and also having our music and our language intertwined between three different languages. That's how we got Haitian Creole. So all these different things wrapped up four different music in the islands. So the first one is compa. It's heavily instrument based. It's rhythmic. It's quite loud, but people get to enjoy themselves and immerse in the dance. And then we also have zouk. But zouk is more a Caribbean type of music that we all share between the islands. Mm-hmm. And that is more of a slow-paced R&B version mm-hmm. of our music. And also we have what we call tubadu, which is more of our version of reggae. But it's very local, very island-based. And we also have Lala, which is the festival type of music, very loud, very clash. It kind of resembles calypso in the other islands, like, you know, Jamaica. So we have all kinds of music in Ireland. So
wow.
I'm talking about Haiti, and it's fantastic to see how different parts of the island plays different type of music as well.
And do you have a lot of different dances too?
Yes, yes. Every style of music that I just explained have their own footwork.
And does it is it different from like northern part of the island to the southern part?
Yes, for sure. And the dialect as well.
Oh, really? That's wow. I should come and visit like one day. One day I'm going to go do
Definitely.
A little trip. Yeah, yeah. So,
you know,
yeah.
We do have a spring break trip coming up. Maybe you might.
Yeah, I know. I know. And today I was talking to my office man. She goes, maybe we should go to the Caribbean. I said, I don't know. And she goes, yeah, maybe. Maybe that's a sign. That's a sign. So I want to go back and talk about the journal and the mental health. What made you try to become an advocate for mental health for women?
That is a great question. Where do I start? So in pageant week, I shared my story mm-hmm. online. And I would reiterate here, this is why I felt so strongly to start helping other women with mental health, because I also myself battled mental health over the years. I didn't realize what it was until I had to get recommended by the state to do so, because when I was about 2 years old, I grew a cyst, a liver cyst to be exact. And I remember my mom telling me this story, because I didn't remember fully until she showed me pictures when I was about 16. That's when she finally showed me the pictures. So I have no recollection of this in particular, but she told me, like, if the cyst were to pop, I would have died. So she had to be careful in how I slept. If I slept in a different way, if I slept on my stomach, it would have popped. It made my stomach way bigger than it should, and I had to get operated. You know, back then in the 90s in Haiti, technology wasn't great.
Yeah.
So I unfortunately left with a scar all across my stomach. And sadly, I do end up with keloids. So that is what my skin does.
But you're still alive. Who cares about keloids? You're still alive. Yeah.
You're right. So because I have keloids, so the scar is visible, extremely visible all across my stomach, which I grew with the scar. It didn't fade over time. So over the years, until I became a teenager, I did not want to be seen naked. I was so self-conscious of my scar. I even had this fear of getting overweight because I was afraid that it would split my stomach in half because of how hard the scar is all across my stomach. And I was very careful. I started, you know, building body dysmorphia because of that, because I was so scared of gaining weight, and I was developing eating disorders that I shouldn't have because I was very careful of not gaining weight. And I also, at the time, I was becoming judgmental of other women who were overweight. And then that also started to affect me in relationships. And after a while, I ended up gaining so much weight. I became 250 pounds and I didn't realize how did it get there. And adding to that and the stress of life, and I remember I tried to commit suicide a couple of times, and the last time was 2019. Wow. Thankfully my partner called the cops and they came and picked me up, and I was referred by the state to actually see a therapist. And that's how my therapy session started, to help develop why I was gaining so much weight, why I was feeling such a type of weight. And we dove into my childhood traumas and overcoming the fact that I have this scar. And part of reframing what happened to me is to accept the fact that this scar has kept me alive, because I should have been gone at 2 years old. Along with that, at 5 years old, I got, when I was getting picked up from school at the time, preschooler, I believe, and I left the hand of the person that came and got me from school to cross the road, and I got hit by a bus, and it kicked me over to the next roadway. And it broke my leg in two. And it is my left leg. And because of that, I'm a little lopsided. Not that much. Maybe like this much. So my bones were broken all the way like this. And they had to pull it together to get as close to what it was before. So it's kind of like this. So maybe 5 centimeters shorter than what it should be. But I had to wear a cast, and that also was a point of contention for me over the years, you know, becoming scared that I, over time, would the shortness show in my walk? Will I be wobbly? Will I stop growing in one leg? So all these things over time just
too much.
So I am so thankful for 2019, because that was the wake-up call that I needed. And I went through all the therapy that I needed to becoming the type of person that I am today and to be able to speak so proudly of my growth and how I completely released all kinds of energies that I had back then, people that I shouldn't have been with, people that I frequented, friends and past relationships. And that's one of the key things that led me to become a mental health advocate, because I've been in multiple people's shoes. I can speak to anyone on different topics within mental health. And that is why I became an advocate.
And I applaud you. Like, really, that's a crazy story right there. And that's why we are having that podcast, because I was very intrigued. I wanted to know more.
Yes.
And I'm very proud of you that you, from your experiences, you're trying to help other women or other people, not just women, men and women really at this point. So what would you try to say to anybody who is going through some mental health issues right now?
I would say the very first thing that you could do is to write down how you feel it. Because if you start to write down how you're feeling, at one point you will be more comfortable to speak to someone else about how you're feeling. Because if you try to explain how you feel to some people, it may be too jumbled up and they may not understand you. Mm-hmm. However, when you start the writing process, it becomes a healing process at the same time, where you can express yourself however you want to feel. Even if it's two lines for that day, just write the two lines and come back the next day to deepen that thought process. So like, okay, why do I feel this way? What led me to this type of feeling or emotion? And then if you still feel the need to speak to someone, I recommend just seeking a licensed professional before you talk to a friend. Because half of the time, people that are your friends or your family member, they can only respond based on how they know you. So they're very biased. And usually the amount of time you spend with that particular friend, they might view you one way, but they don't know this other side of you. They don't know your day-to-day by yourself. They only know your interaction, and based on their interaction will be their response. So if you're someone who only hang out with one type of friend and you guys go to brunch, they know you as happy-go-lucky at the brunch and having a good time. However, if you come to tell them, hey, I'm dealing with this type of depression, they will be confused. Like, how? Usually you're so lucky. I'm like, oh, you will get over it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go out. Let's have a good time. And it may not be that kind of response that you need. So usually your friends may not be the best person to go to, because every person that's in your life have a particular relationship that you build with them. I mean, and it may not stem from someone that knows you internally or knows you for a long term. Even best friends may not even be the best one to talk to. Yes, they'll give you certain advice, but a professional advice that can actually pinpoint where your issues start helps significantly, because they're the expert. Your friends are not the expert. Your family not the expert. However, if you want to tell them that you need help finding a therapist, they might be a better fit for that. Or have them refer you to certain podcasts to listen to, or certain YouTube channels that deals with that. They can do smaller acts of kindness that way for you versus spilling your gut sometimes to mm-hmm. them.
Mm-hmm. And so do you talk to like teens or somebody who is going through some mental issues right now?
As of right now, I have volunteered a couple times locally with the Boys and Girls Club, and I'm looking to expand that this year. Last year, what I've done is work with this nonprofit called No Limit Counseling mm-hmm. and Education. They are Black owned. They have basically Black therapists there. But I wanted to find a way to connect my community to Black therapists, and that's been something that was very dear to me, that they are a nonprofit on top mm-hmm. of that. Whatever they do has to be from grants or companies that actually wants to help, and they're such an amazing organization. So whenever they have different type of events, I volunteer to go there and speak about my journey, and that has been really significant for me.
That's incredible. And how can, like, what if somebody has mental issues and they don't want to admit it? What can be done at this point? How can we help them?
The last thing you want to do is to diagnose someone and you don't even know what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the best advice you could do is to send them the link. Even if just to talk to the suicide hotline, mm-hmm. they may not need it. However, just know that you're thinking about them, that, hey, I don't feel like you've been your best self for the last couple of days or the last couple of months, and I think you should talk to someone. It may not be me, mm-hmm. but I think you should call this number or go to this website. Maybe this could help you open up some more. But whenever you're ready to speak to me, I'm there for you. Mm-hmm. That would be the best phrase you could tell to a friend that you suspect to be having or going through an issue. Mm-hmm. Because the last thing you want is to make the person feel worse than what they already feeling or overthinking in their mind.
Yeah.
And you start adding things like, wait, am I bipolar? I thought I was just depressed. And then they start this rabbit hole their thoughts just augment all these extra things. You know how some people may have one simple illness and they go on WebMD and then they find they have like seven different things?
All the time with my tooth. Oh, do I need a root canal? Do I need an implant now? Oh my God, like all the time. But I'm asking specifically because also some of, you know, in my patients, sometimes I would feel something is off. And I could sense that. And sometimes I would actually, maybe a couple of days later, I would call them personally and just to say, how are you doing? How is everything? How are you feeling? And if there is anything, you know, that I can help you with, just let me know. So I think that's important. Yeah. That's why I'm asking, how can you approach something like, because this is pretty private. So how can you really approach something like this without making that, you know, that person feel bad about themselves? Yeah.
That's true.
Okay. So tell me about your experience with the pageantry then. How was that your first time ever?
No, that was not my first time.
Oh, okay.
So I entered in 2019.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow. That was before or after you had this whole thing?
It was before.
Okay.
It was before. It was, I would say it was in March.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went to therapy in July.
Okay. I hope it wasn't because of the pageant. I hear it's very stressful.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. That was honestly, Mrs. World was the biggest that I've been
in. Okay.
So the very first one was me trying out for Mrs. Haiti International.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think we had maybe five or six women competing at the time versus 38.
That was a lot. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I didn't place. I felt like I was very close, though, because when they were calling, like, the last three, it was like, it was me and two of the women that were not called yet. So I'm like, okay, am I close?
Yeah.
So we were the last two standing, and they ended up calling her. So I was like, oh, okay, well, all right, I guess it wasn't my turn. But I wouldn't say I spiraled after the pageant, but I just felt like, okay, what was I missing?
Mm-hmm.
And my mind went into, maybe you're overweight.
Oh, come on. Oh, my God. Yeah.
You know, you start doubting yourself. You're like, what was I missing? oh my God, they don't see me. I was amazing up there. How could they not? Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. start asking and your mind starts spiraling mm-hmm, like, oh my mm-hmm. God, what did I do wrong? How can I fix it? There's no pictures that it can give me for, you know, to so I could see like, how can I be better? How can I improve? How, what should I have said that wasn't correctly? Can they tell that I don't care about the platform that I was talking about? You know, well, my first platform was about being green and recycling because of all the issues going on in Haiti when it comes to keeping the island clean.
Yeah.
It wasn't something that I was very dear to my heart at the time either. I just know like it's an important situation in Haiti and I wanted to help, but it wasn't as close to my heart as my platform is now.
Yeah.
So with that said, the following year I signed up again, but because it was COVID, I caught COVID, so I couldn't go.
Okay.
So I got COVID and I couldn't go. And that year, they didn't do it in person anyway. So they ended up doing it remotely and just do the interviews through Zoom. Like, well, I could have done that if it was through Zoom. Yeah. But I had already resigned and said, okay, I'll try another time. And I ran again in 2021 and I was first runner up.
Okay.
And at the time, my platform was about self-love. And that was also the journey that I was on at the same time, mm-hmm. because I had just finished all my therapy sessions mm-hmm. and I was on my weight loss journey. Mm-hmm. And I think at the time I went from 250 to 220. That felt great.
That's great. Yeah. Yeah.
I felt great. I was like, okay.
That's a big achievement. 30 pounds. It was. A lot. Yeah.
It was at the time. I was like, oh, wow. Yes. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great. And I'm like, okay. So what's next? And after the show, one of the judges came up to me and she was like, you guys were neck and neck. And they were just like, they had a hard time choosing, and I'm like, well, that's great. You still mm-hmm. chose though.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me, she said, I like your platform, but her platform was stronger. At the time, hers, the winner was HIV prevention.
Okay.
And with self-love and HIV, they were like, it's a more secure platform for the pageant system within itself to have someone represent and be more active and out there. And of course, she was also a nurse. So that also helped out with that. So I was mm-hmm. okay. They were like, how about you look for something more deeper or more meaningful to you? She's like, maybe try mental health, because mm-hmm. I felt like when you were speaking on stage, it felt more you talking about mental health versus just self-love. I said, okay, I'll take notes with that. And I just remembered that conversation with the judge, and she was like, I think you will do great, and if you choose to compete in any other pageant system, I just need you to refine your platform or refine your journey, refine your why are you doing this? Because I could see you go far. And I said, oh, thank you. I received that. And I look forward to see how I can become a better woman. And that's how later on, I found out about Mrs. World.
Wow. Wow. You know, the thing that I really admire here about you, that look where you started and what you've been through and where you're at right now. And you didn't give up. You certainly didn't give up.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think this is a great episode for anyone. Like, I didn't even know what we're going to really talk about today, about fashion, about, you know, nice dresses, looking cute. But look where we are at now. And it is very important. Yeah. I was like, oh, my God, look where we are. We're talking about mental health and how you can prevent it, and if something is going on, how you can take care of yourself. And this is a very important issue. Yeah.
It is. It is. I can also talk about fashion. You tell me.
I mean, fashion can wait a little bit now, because we're talking about, this is very serious now, especially, I mean, between girls right now, you know, there is a lot of bullying, I hear. I have boys, but a lot of bullying going on in schools, and, oh, look at you, you blah, blah, blah. But let's put now some little tips for anyone who is struggling in general. Like, I don't feel good about myself, something is off with me. Little tips, like give me like 5 tips that we can, you know, write them down to the viewers, to the listeners, and how they can make themselves a little bit better.
All right. So 5 tips. I would say number 5 is to enjoy your current stage. The last thing you want is to go from 0 to 17 in 3 minutes or 3 months. Enjoy the steps, enjoy the process, enjoy the, if you're dealing with your weight issues, accept the weight. Mm-hmm. Accept your current position. There's nothing you can do about it now. It is what it is. You have come to this particular situation, and you have to accept that you took a part into that time, into that situation. You know what? It is what it is. I have led myself to this place. I have to accept my hand in it and to move forward. You can't dwell on how much involvement you put into it. True. Just say, you know what? It is what it is. I've accepted my fault, and this is where I am. This is the starting point. And I can't hate myself more than what I've done over the years. So the moment you wake up, you realize there's a problem. Just accept the problem now. Don't say, well, why I didn't fix it before? Don't dwell on that. So that's the first thing I'll say is to accept where you are at the time. Number 4, find someone or somewhere you can go to have peace. If hanging out at an ice cream shop make you happy, do that once a week. If talking to a friend for 3 hours on the phone makes you happy for now, do that. Find little moments of peace that can bring you joy. If you need to find a new hobby that will bring you joy, do that. That way, you give yourself moments in time that you are happy. The more happy moments you can create, the better it will be for your mental health. Because those are the moments that you can call me time, or moments of solace that you know that, you know what, at this very moment, I'm happy. Or you can replay those times in your mind. You know what, that day I was really happy and I'm thankful for that. Or that person that I was hanging out with really made my day. Just small things of that the more you do one, the more likely you will continue to do the same thing. So for me, one of the things I had to do back then was creating time for others, or for things that would make me happy in my schedule. Even if it was for 1 hour, that I know this is for me, this is to make me happy, mm-hmm. nobody else matters. Mm-hmm. That will make significant difference into your life. So, and also, number 3, I would say is, find time for personal development. This can mean reading a book. This can mean learning how to make ceramic bowls, you know, work with your hands, or sign up for dancing class, sign up for painting with a twist, you know, things that you need to learn a new skill, things that will take your mind away without dwelling what's going on up here. The less time you spend up here, the more the happier you will become. Because the one thing I've learned with the pandemic is that we stood still so much that people were just thinking over time. Yeah. And that led to a whole realm of issues during the pandemic when it comes to mental health, because people had time to be with themselves and be with their thoughts. And if you lived alone, you would definitely have time to be with your thoughts. And and one thing that was I was really happy about is that I could go to the gym. The gym was the best thing for me because it kept me outside of my house, even for an hour or 2 hours. How long I spent in there was what I was spending there because it kept me moving. It kept me away from sitting there and being with my thoughts after work. And that's the last thing you want to do is create more time within your thoughts. But yeah, so I would say find some time to create for yourself. Personal development. I would say the gym, because I've learned that the more active you are, the more endorphins you release. So it tends to make you happier. Yeah. That's one thing that was dear to me in 2022, because I lost a dear friend of mine to a car crash. And me going through grief, oh my God, the gym was my solace for that. And I just know it hit me really hard because I was supposed to go with her on the trip. And she drove by herself and left me and didn't tell me until the next day. And even with the next day, she died that morning at 4 a.m.
Wow. I'm so sorry.
So, So for me, I felt guilty for months that I should have called her to see. Like the idea was she was to call me back. She's going to see how can she get a rental car. And she got the car and didn't tell me. She just went on herself. So for months, it was dragging with me. But I knew I had to get busy or get out of the house. And one of the key things that I chose was to be at the gym. Just one day I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. Even if I don't do anything at the gym, I would just walk or I just sit there. As long as I'm around other energies and not on my own, or just being around others that actually actively doing something. And I just sit there and be with my thoughts. So I would say the gym could be one thing, or just go for a simple walk or go read a book or go be outside.
Yeah,
I know when we were younger, our parents want us to be outside, but we are grown adults. But let's be kids sometimes. Let's go outside and enjoy ourselves.
Outside is actually very important. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. Let me see. What were the last two? Number two, I would say journaling. I know I've given other things to do without your thoughts, but you actually need to spend time with your thoughts as well. Just don't make it the overall time for you to spend time with your thoughts. So put all those thoughts down in a journal. However you're feeling, even if it's for 20 minutes, write down everything. How was the day? Even if it was good, if it was bad, write down the whole day. What happened that day? Put the date and the time you are writing that entry. Just so like if a year later you go back and read, you could see all of your progress from the date. The very first time you started recording your thoughts all the way to the new year. So that is something that I generally recommend, is to really just start writing down your thoughts from day one. Just go to Walmart, get your journal, and start writing down. And the very first thing, get a licensed therapist. That would be my number one thing, because as much as you could do small things on your own, the final touch is to speak with a licensed professional who is knowledgeable in whatever you're going through. It could be anything from postpartum. If you were a mom, you just had a child and you need to get over that. There are doctors who specialize in just that. So do the research. Find someone that actually deal with whatever you're going through. There are some people who specifically deal with childhood traumas. There's some people who only deal with scars, you know, how to overcome scars, physical scars, not just those scars. So there's someone for everybody.
I didn't know that. There are different types of therapy. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So like in most websites that I have visited before, I wanted to find someone that specifically worked for whatever trauma that I was dealing with. And I think one of the good websites that I landed on was No Limit, because they have different therapists for different things. Mm-hmm. Even though like they're licensed for everything, but at least like they know what they would want to target or specify based on the client. Mm-hmm. And for me, I wouldn't want to be matched with someone who could be, you know, just Christian based, because I'm not a Christian, or, you know, based on some type of religion. They have all kinds of different therapists out there. So at least do the research and find someone that really matches. Even if you have to do 2-3 different consultation, do that to find someone that you connect with that would make the process easier. Because the last thing you want is to be with a therapist that you can't connect with, where you guys have ideals. You know, they could be Hindu and you Christian. Is, you know, it's a whole thing.
True. Yeah. True. Wow, these are very, it's a very deep podcast today. Yeah, it's a very deep podcast. And you are based in Orlando.
Yes.
So I'll come to visit you. Okay.
Yes.
I can come to Florida. I love Florida. Yeah.
Come to Florida. We have so much things to do.
Yeah. Wow, that was really awesome today. And I know you have your own podcast too. And you have the journals. So we need to put all of that. This is going to be all in the show notes, guys. So if you want to connect with Ludwien or hear her story or get her book, which is amazing, or join her podcast, I'm going to put everything in the show notes. Yes. And you have a beautiful smile. Let me tell you that.
Thank you.
Gorgeous, beautiful smile. Yeah.
Thank you. You know, I do want to whiten it some more. I think you had one episode about different ways to whiten.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to go back and listen to that.
Come back here. Come here to us in New Jersey. We'll take care of the smile for you. That's not a problem. And actually, let me tell you, because remember you said let's go outside. So if you look a little bit into like the social media, whatever we put for our office. So our office actually, it's built inside a park. There is a park outside the office.
I love that.
And I mean, it's our park. Like we bought the place and the building is right in the middle and the outside. So all the patients are overlooking a huge koi fish pond with waterfalls. And sometimes when they're waiting for the treatment, they just, summertime, springtime, they go feed the fish or sit a little bit around and look at the fish. Yeah.
Oh my God.
And we have a lot of huge, big, mature trees surrounding, like a lot of, like pretty much all of them are evergreen. So today, for example, we were working and then we saw like a couple of blue jay. They're just fighting outside. And it was so cute because also we have huge windows, like the whole wall is pretty much like a window overlooking the outside. So it's like as if you are sitting outside. It's incredible. You have to come and visit. God. Yeah.
That sounds so nice.
Yeah. It's very unique.
Courses.
Yeah, me too. They bring so much peace. They're so beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, and they are hibernating now because it's cold here, obviously. We're like in the 30s, so they are like standing up like they're not moving. They're just standing up. They're so cute. They don't eat. I don't feed them. They hibernate.
Do you have sessions outside?
Well, you know what? Sessions for teeth, for patients?
No. You're right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No. Go ahead.
My mind went into like an office, actually. Therapist would have sessions.
You know what?
That's on my mind when I'm sorry.
But you know what? Here, let me tell you. The whole concept, and this is really now is true. The whole concept. It's actually, I created a concept. It's like nature-infused dentistry. So a lot of the patients, and we just kind of built this office. I was in another office before, and we kind of relocated. So the previous office, we were like small, you know, you're looking at the parking lot, you see cars around. It was just cramped up. And then I decided I want something to kind of alleviate the anxiety. Because the patients, they come, they're already scared. They first thing they tell me, I don't like the dentist. I'm like, oh my God, you know what? Just let's calm down. So right now they come, they sit and they look outside. They're like, oh my God, can we sit a little bit longer? They actually tell me that. I have patients who always requested, you know, the laughing gas, the nitrous oxide, the laughing gas. Mm-hmm. One time I said, I don't even, it's empty. They're like, and I said, do you want to reschedule? They're like, let me see. And they sat down and they looked outside and we were able to do the work. No nitrous, nothing. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
I love that.
It's working.
That is the power of Mother Earth.
Yes. So we're talking about going outside. Absolutely. Yes. It makes us very happy. Yeah.
I even went on a walk outside today. There's a park near the house. I think it was like 4 o'clock. I just went outside and just did a whole walk around the park. And it felt so nice to just breathe the natural air. So I love how peaceful that could be. So.
Look at you know, the birds around, sometimes like some little animals walk around. It's incredible, like squirrels and maybe a couple of deer sometimes.
Now you may want to come see your office.
Anytime, we'll be waiting for you. Anytime. Well, it was a big pleasure today, Ludwin. Very big pleasure. I'm so happy we connected. And I'm actually very happy that we met at the Las Vegas, you know, event. And here we are now, and we're going to become besties from now on.
Yes.
Let's connect. Yeah. We'll keep connecting. And I'm going to put all the how to contact Ludwin in the show notes. And you have a beautiful smile, so keep it up. Okay?
Thank you. I work really hard.
Yeah. And,
The last dentist I went to told me I might need Invisalign.
Really?
Yeah, because my jawline doesn't align to my top.
It's feet, a little bit bigger. Can hardly see, hardly. But come over, come to us in New Jersey. We'll take care of you. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Okay, guys, and you know it. If you take care of your teeth, they will take care of you. Until then, keep smiling with Dr. Saad. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you very much for taking the time to listen to our weekly podcast. This show wouldn't really be possible without you. If you are a fan of the show, please leave us a comment on Instagram at rodwasad_DMD. The link is in the show notes. Until our next episode, remember, if you take care of your teeth will take care of you. Keep smiling with Dr. Saad.